Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodie, and I am your host. And on today's episode of Kilowatt, we have an interview with Allison Sheridan and Stephen Yule. Now, I had nothing to do with this interview. Allison and Stephen sat down, and they talked about his Kia Sportage hybrid and why he chose a hybrid over an EV. I think this is a really good example of you should buy the car that works for you and your family that fits your budget. Now, I think we're getting a little bit of a sneak peek here because I don't think Allison has aired this interview on any of her shows yet. So what I would like you to do as the listener, as a thank you, go find Allison's shows. It's NoSillaCast and Chit Chat Across the Pond. Find those shows and subscribe to them just to say thank you for letting me use her content. Because even though I've been on a break, I've been very busy and I have lots to tell you about. And hopefully I'll be able to tell you about all the things I've been up to soon. All right, let's go ahead and turn the show over to Allison and Stephen.
I'd like to welcome to the show Steve Yule. You've probably heard his name a bunch of times before. He is the executive director of the CTA Foundation, and he chose an environmentally correct vehicle, but he didn't choose what I chose. And I thought his process was really interesting. I know a lot of people are thinking about if they wanted to get an EV or a plug-in hybrid, what would they do? What's the decision process? So, Steve Yule, welcome to the show.
Allison, I'm so thrilled to be here. I love listening to the show and happy to be able to join and, you know, share a little bit of a different vehicle than gets coverage all the time necessarily. So glad to be here.
Well, before we go on, can you give us your elevator pitch? What is the CTA Foundation?
So the CTA Foundation is the charitable foundation that's affiliated with the Consumer Technology Association, probably best known to your audience for the group that runs CES. But our foundation focuses on using technology to help older adults and people with disabilities. So we fund nonprofits all over the country and run several programs looking at spreading the innovation and using technology to make a good impact. So thrilled to be here. But, you know, as far as we don't endorse any specific products. So as we're talking today, I'm just talking about what selection I made, not necessarily saying anything good or bad about others.
Okay. So this is just Steve talking.
This
not
is just
the CTA
Steve.
Foundation talking.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So you got to start with the problem to be solved, maybe some sort of requirements list. What were you looking for in replacing your vehicle?
Yeah, so I had, I'm someone who tends to drive cars into the ground. So I had a, 2012 Toyota Camry, which I was using, a hybrid Camry, almost 200,000 miles. And it was running fine, but I was, ready to start looking at, where I wanted to go from here and looking at new vehicles. And especially as I listened to you and as I listened to Bodie and others talking about the great vehicles out there, I was like, I think I may be ready to look at an EV or a plug-in EV or, look at going kind of that direction.
So, by the way, the most environmentally sound thing you can do, I understand, is run your car into the ground. Right? Because it doesn't have to be built. And the building of these vehicles actually uses a lot of energy and natural resources. So you're already doing the right thing. You started with a hybrid that long ago is impressive, and driving it into the ground, both good metrics. And real quickly, everybody, Bodie, he's talking about is Bodie Grimm of the Kilowatt Podcast, which is a fantastic EV podcast you should listen to.
I completely endorse that as well. And I'm a proud Patreon supporter of both the Nozilla cast and the Kilowatt podcast. So really, that's been helpful just to hear the experiences that, you know, each of you have had your Teslas now, but also Chris Ashby with his Ford F-150 Lightning and others, just the various vehicles that have been covered.
Yeah, Steve and I kind of had mono vision only about Teslas until we started listening to Bodie and now learning about all of the different vehicles out there. It's really good to understand there's a lot of options, more and more every day.
It is amazing to see what is out there. So, but yeah, I needed a vehicle, you know, driving into the office for me. I live a bit outside, you know, the city here. So I'm about 33 miles, you know, from where I live into the office each way.
Perfect. Typical commute distance, right? They always say 30 to 40 miles. That's typical.
Exactly. Only with Northern Virginia traffic, that's like an hour, hour and a half drive. But, you know, you're in Southern California, so that probably doesn't sound too bad to you. But so I need something that could be kind of fuel efficient to get me back and forth. I needed something as well. My wife and I have a farm that she basically runs, and we have a cidery there. And so I also needed something that I could kind of pack with a bunch of stuff and bring out to the farm and move stuff around. And, you know, jamming all that into my Camry was a little bit of a challenge. So I wanted
mulch
something
in the back seat.
Well, yeah, you joke, but there was a lot of times there was mulch in the back seat and, you know, all kinds of other stuff. So I needed something that I could really kind of pack with things. I didn't necessarily, like, I was looking at pickup trucks as well, but I at least needed something with a bit more storage than what I had. You know, I was looking at, as far as, you know, we do take a few road trips a year. I have family kind of up and down the East Coast, so being able to drive and visit them on longer trips. We also tend to like to go out and visit some of these Virginia wineries around here, and they don't tend to be in the areas that have a big, you know, charger network. So we were looking at different options as far as making sure that we can get out, but also get back after that. And I'm not quite ready to fully go self-driving, trusting that to get me home after a winery or two. We're getting there. I cannot wait for that day. I think, honestly, just from an accessibility standpoint, self-driving is going to be an amazing innovation.
Right. That's the dream. That is the dream. Because, you know, if we live long enough, we will all need it.
Absolutely. So, yeah, no, I think there's some exciting opportunities there and looking at some of these vehicles. And then, obviously, I want something reliable. I didn't want something that was going to be in the shop all the time. So, did a lot of digging into that kind of data. You know, I have a garage on our house that's not the biggest garage out there. Honestly, my Camry just kind of fit. So I also wanted something, you know, I have several neighbors who just kind of park in their driveway, which I could do, but I really was hoping to get a vehicle that would fit in the garage, be able to keep it, you know, safe that way.
What kind of price point were you looking at?
I was hoping to keep it under $60,000. That was kind of my goal.
Okay.
You know, and ideally less than that. But, and I did have, you know, I had the trade-in, but I knew it was kind of an older trade-in with a lot of miles. So I wasn't expecting a whole lot there. So really just looking at, you know, what I could get for a decent price while meeting a lot of these different criteria.
Okay. So a lot of Nozilla castaways are rabid about their car has to have CarPlay. Are you in that camp?
I was interested in CarPlay. I at least wanted something similar to that. You know, with my old Camry, it had a system that didn't always work all that well. So I made it work, but you know, I wanted to try that out. Now, I had tried CarPlay in a number of rental cars, and a lot of them had these little tiny screens that they put CarPlay on.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, I don't know that that is going to win me over, but I wanted something that I could easily connect my phone into. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts as I'm commuting. Of course, I'm listening to your podcast as I'm commuting back and forth. So I wanted to have something that was easy to just control that. And that way, honestly, I always had to kind of like fiddle with my phone to control it, my old car. And I would prefer not to be touching my phone while I'm driving. So having something that projected it up on the dashboard was something that wasn't an absolute requirement, but it was kind of up there on my list.
Well, I think CarPlay actually is good. I've gone from it's meh to it's good. It's not great, but I still think it's good. But I think a lot of people's opinions on this are formed by the fact that the old systems we had were so bad. So they went from that to a CarPlay and not realizing there can be things that are also good, maybe not the same good as CarPlay, but you get in your head that like everything else must be like the car I used to have. And that's not necessarily true. But anyway, so now you didn't narrow it down between EVs and plug-in hybrids,
originally,
right?
I was pretty convinced I was going to get an EV. I had, kind of in my head that I was going to get an EV. I do have a colleague who has the Audi Q4 plug-in, she really loves it. So I was like, all right, I need to take a look at that. So I had
opened the door to
that. As I was doing research, I had plug-ins in mind, but at the time, it was more of, oh, I guess that's something I should look at. But I was pretty convinced I was going to go the EV route just based on everything that I had read before I had actually done any real research on this yet.
Okay. Now, when you talk about reliability, one of the things I wonder is my father was a big proponent of, he would always say, well, that's just another thing to go wrong, like, electric windows. But, he's right. Every time you add complexity, you add something else. When you have a hybrid, aren't you really getting the worst of both worlds on reliability? Because you have all of the components of a gas car. So you have to change the oil. You have, you have to do all the things you do with a gas car, but you also have whatever could go wrong in an EV, which is sort of narrowed down sum of parts. But now you've got both. You've got all the advantages of both, but you also have the reliability, right?
That is absolutely a risk. Yeah, I agree. That's one of the challenges. It's something that I guess having driven a hybrid now, not a plug-in hybrid for the last, 10, 11 years, and I really had no issues with the hybrid system. Obviously, that's an of one as far as the case, but that made me a little more comfortable going that route. But yeah, it is something that there's potential challenges there, and I'm recognizing that going into this.
Okay, so now when Steve says he did research, I actually thought you were, Bruce, use the data because he is such a data nerd. When I kept getting the two of you confused getting ready for this. And because when I looked at your spreadsheet, it's how many lines long? It's like 150 lines long, and it goes to like BN, I think, in columns on the right. So it is a massive spreadsheet of vehicles. Bart has a spreadsheet as well. But it is nothing like the banana spreadsheet you created. You looked
at least online. I basically went through, as many websites as I could online of what are the top, electric or plug-in vehicles out there. But I also just kind of pulled who are the major manufacturers that you can get here in the US and just went to their sites and looked at, was there anything that even remotely appealed to me? Now, there were several on my list that put on there. I did a little research, but knew the minute I saw the price tag that I wasn't going to get anywhere close to being able to afford one of these vehicles.
Highlight this row in red if above this number.
I'm big on color coding everything, so I had managed to like put in pricing both for the starting price as well as kind of I'd go in and build on their website what my ideal car would be. Wow. And then if it's over 60, it would be in red. If it was between 40 and 60, it was kind of a blue. And if it was under 40, it would be in green. So I could just kind of easily see, okay, stop looking at that. I know it's really pretty. I know it looks like it has everything I'd possibly want, but it also is twice the price. And I think I would be in a lot of trouble if I came home with a $100,000 car. So
there would be words. So we're going to go through line by line every single vehicle.
Absolutely.
In the spreadsheet,
I'm
then
happy to put your audience to sleep. So
actually, not to put you on the spot, but would you be willing to share that publicly?
I think so. Let me take one quick look at it again, just to make sure there's nothing too personal or anything in there that I don't think there is. But I mean, it's mostly links. I did research into, all the various review websites and their ratings. I started to populate a bunch of the different features. I didn't end up doing that for everything because honestly, I just lost attention span and realized I was going to see a bunch of these cars in person. And a lot of things like Apple CarPlay and Android Auto and all those, it's pretty much universal now. Not everyone has it, but I was finding, as I was...
It wasn't a differentiator.
No, it was just kind of the, if they didn't have it, they had something similar that would work similarly. So,
okay. So let me tell the audience, if you see that I have linked to the spreadsheet in the blog post, then he said yes. If it's not there, then it didn't turn out to be something he was willing to share. I would think. So you narrowed it down. What were the cars you narrowed it down to?
So yeah, I had originally narrowed it down to, I wanted that F-150, but the price tag on that kind of ruled that one out. So, but I really had narrowed it down to the Tesla Y, the Genesis GV60, and the Hyundai Ioniq 5. I looked at the Audi as well. And then I was going to take a look at the Kia EV6. So once again, almost all of them were electric, fully electric vehicles.
Pure EVs.
And then, ultimately, as I was going around testing, actually, it was interesting. I had one dealership that I went to and went to go look at their car, and the dealer talked me out of buying an electric vehicle from them because he was just like, I wouldn't buy an electric vehicle these days. It's just not the infrastructure. There's not like all this. And so I was like, okay, well, if you don't want to sell me the vehicle, I'm more than happy to keep moving on. I think maybe his manager got on him later because I started getting all kinds of emails from him asking when I was coming back in to look at vehicles. So, but when I went to the Kia dealership, which honestly, I really was just looking at the EV6 because I thought it was an interesting car. It was fairly highly rated, and it didn't jump out at me when I looked at that car. But while I was there, I was like, I should look at their plugins just to see what they have. That really won me over pretty quickly. The Kia Sportage is the plug-in version of the Kia Sportage, which is kind of their midsize SUV, and it just had it was a bit bigger than a lot of the full EVs that I was looking at. So it had a bit more cargo space, which was something that was important to me. Just, I liked the look of it. I thought it, had both the outside of it as well as the internal setup worked really well for me. And it kind of matched. I mean, maybe it's because the electric range for it is right at that 33 miles, which is what I need to drive into work. Now, I knew I wouldn't necessarily get, that means I might have to pay or do a little bit of gas to get to work. Although, amazingly enough, I've been getting to work with a little bit of charge left. So I'm guessing at some point during my commute, it takes a little bit of gas, or it's just getting enough from regenerative braking to...
that's what I was wondering, whether you're getting regenerative braking. And my understanding was it uses electric getting up to speed, hybrids, plug-in hybrids do electric getting the low-end torque and getting up to speed, but it might use gas to keep going. No?
It can do that. There's various settings. So I have mine pretty much set to operate as an electric vehicle until it runs out of charge, and then it will move into more of that hybrid model. You can set it so it works more like what you're describing, where it will kind of start with electric, but then move over to gas at various times. So that's the other thing. Maybe it's the techie in me but this vehicle has so many settings. Like you can dive in and adjust the color scheme inside and, what's showing up where on the dashboard. And I also liked, you had talked on one of your previous podcasts about having custom buttons. This has a couple buttons in the vehicle. There's one on the steering wheel. There's another kind of on the center console area and another in the kind of main display. That you can actually customize what those buttons do. Now, I wish it was fully customizable. Basically, for each one, you can go into a menu and choose from 8 different options for what those buttons can do.
That's still pretty good, but you want it to be all of them.
Oh, I want to be able to fully say, run a macro when I press this button. probably don't want macros running on my car, but
shortcut support.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those.
I do want to tell the audience something I keep forgetting to tell them. After the most recent time that I complained about the fact that I can't use any kind of button to control the temperature in my car, that I have to use the touchscreen. Tesla came out with an update that does allow you to assign one of the buttons on the steering column to change the temperature. And I think there's a couple of different things you can change it to. I don't think it's as many as 8. The sad part is because Steve and I are on the beta track for full self-driving, we haven't gotten that update yet. So Pat Dengler's got it, and Bart's got it, and Stefan Lesage has it, Mark Poli has it, all these people have it, and they're all excited. They're changing their temperature with the thumb wheel. And the one person who complained the most about it doesn't have it yet.
Yeah,
but it's coming.
That's the way it goes when you're on that cutting edge.
Right. Hey, so let's back up just a little bit. We're getting a little bit into the weeds. Describe the Kia Sportage. I've never seen it. Is it a car? Is it a truck? What is it?
So it's an SUV. So it's kind of the midsize SUV for Kia. It is kind of 2 rows of seats. So it's not, it doesn't have the third row, but has a nice big, you know, back area as far as, you know, storage and cargo space. Because it is a plug-in hybrid versus full electric, I don't have the frunk. I was kind of looking forward to a frunk, but it's got plenty of space as far as kind of in the back area. You know, as far as, you know, design of the vehicle, it's got, you know, it kind of has the electric, the LED, you know, front lights and back lights and everything. So it's, you
cool
know,
looking.
Stands out a little bit, although you see so many cars with
those
now. I
know, that's
now.
Cheating. That used to be how you could tell if something was an EV, and now it's like the gas cars are doing it. It's like, oh, come on.
Yep, exactly. No, my father was asking me to be able to explain, you know, how he knows a Sportage that's electric versus one that's not. And honestly, the only way he'd be able to tell, I think, right now is mine has, it looks like gas entries on both sides of the vehicle, because one side is the gas, one side is the electric plug-in. Otherwise, it would only have the one.
So you'd have to encircle the car to be able to tell if it's a plug-in hybrid.
To tell if it's the plug-in hybrid or not. But yeah, so yeah, it's your typical SUV, but I like the setup.
It's pretty. I just look up the picture. Okay, so you can go the 33 miles on electric pretty much. What about your full range with gas? Have you tested that out yet?
So I haven't necessarily tested it fully. I've done a couple road trips. In fact, actually, that's one of the nice things is I've now had the car 2 months and driven about 2,400 miles. And I just put in my third tank of gas to the vehicle. So, and two of those were because I took a road trip to Richmond for a weekend. And so I topped it off to go down there and then refilled it coming home. So I think when I fill it up, it tells me if I have both a full electric charge and a full gas charge. It's got like a 450 mile range, something like that.
I like how you just called it a gas charge.
Yeah. You know, I'm moving over to the electric.
Well, yeah, the
world.
Words get hard. Like you want to say, I press the gas pedal. Well, no, is it in your car? What is it? We'll call it accelerator.
I was going to say, I think at this point it's an accelerator. But yeah, so I you know, it's not a big gas tank. I think they do that just from a weight issue.
You said it had 400 mile range on gas.
So yeah, it's about that.
Yeah, not a big gas tank. My last gas car was 300.
It's 11.1 gallons. So I know when I've tried to.
So it's got good mileage.
Because it moves into hybrid mode when it's not doing full electric, it does have, you know, pretty good, you know, miles per gallon on the gas.
So that's a big advantage. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Cause that's not a very big tank at all. I think mine was 15 gallons. And I mean, if I got 300 miles, 320, that was a good tank. But that was mostly around the city. So what other high-tech features does it have?
So, I mean, this one does have, you know, all the, you know, what you'd be looking for as far as it does have the Apple CarPlay in there. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do like about it, though, is it's got a really long kind of display for that. So you're able to, you know, Apple CarPlay has where you can put like multiple apps on the screen at once. So you can have your, you know, Waze going for maps while having your podcast going. It always seems to insist on putting whatever's next on my calendar on there, even though I
don't want to know.
I really wish I had more control over what shows up where there. I think that's an Apple thing as far as, you know, being able to control all that. But because it's such a big screen, it doesn't feel like it's cramped and little. It's really easy to see and control everything on there. So that goes really well.
That's been my biggest complaint with CarPlay is I feel like crammed all this stuff together and you've got little tiny boxes of stuff. And again, most of my experience, actually, possibly all of my experience has been in rental cars. The one exception being the Chevy Bolt had a nice big screen, which is, you know, crazy in a $28,000 car. So they could be doing it in the other ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that was my experience before it as well. So I wasn't sure, you know, about going that direction, but this one really kind of won me over. It does have a lot of, like, you can adjust the modes of driving. So I tend to leave it in eco mode, which does give you a little better miles per gallon. But if you want to, you can go into sport mode and it's got a little more, you know, pep to it coming off the line and all that. It's not a Tesla at all. That was the one thing I definitely noticed I was giving up by not going with the Tesla, is just the horsepower of, you know, being able to start up when the light goes green. But it's got a decent amount.
Let me describe that a little bit to people and have you tell me what your experience is like in the Kia. The interesting thing about driving an EV, and most of my experience in EVs has been on the Tesla, is that it's a linear torque curve. So you know how in a gas car you start to accelerate and it kind of goes and it jumps up. You can tell the curve is not linear. It kicks in. On the electric vehicles, it's just linear. You just press on the pedal and there's a direct connection from you to going faster, and the acceleration is phenomenal on it. So even if the acceleration isn't phenomenal in the modes that you're talking about, is it still that linear feel, or do you feel more like with a gas car?
It depends on whether you're running electric at the time or if you're running on the gas at the time.
So you don't know what you're going to get.
When it's on gas, you can well, I mean, if you know you have electric charge, you're going to get the electric, unless, I mean, you can kind of shut it off or tell it you want to run gas. The only time I would think of doing that would be if I haven't filled up my gas tank in a really long time.
You need to burn
now, the
some.
Dealer said that it could probably go about 6 months with the gas in there. And supposedly the car is smart enough that it knows to start burning more gas if you need it, to do that.
Gas gets stale, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't understand what stale means. Do you know, is it a chemical decomposition in some way?
This is over my head. I don't know. I know there's, you know, various treatments you can use for it, but, you know, and evidently it's a pressurized tank and that's supposed to help prevent it from getting stale.
Water vapor or anything in there.
But yeah, I kind of have it in my head that I'm going to be a little more conservative. And if I haven't filled up my gas tank in 3 months or so, I'll probably plan to
go to a winery.
Exactly. Go out, have some experience, and then, you know, unfortunately need to fill up the tank. But if I only have to fill up the tank quarterly, I think that'll be
that's a win.
I'm happy with that. So,
yeah. Now, there's another question. Somebody was just talking to me yesterday. We got a chance to see a Rivian. And we ended up talking about all kinds of different cars. And you have to change the oil as well on your car. Is that right?
I do. So
you have
that
to know to do it, even though you haven't driven on gas very far.
Yeah. So that is, you know, one of the other downsides that I was looking forward with an EV of not having much maintenance at all. Mm-hmm. But because I have the gas engine as part of it, I do still need to do the various maintenances, change the oil, do all that.
That's important for people to remember, right? Is that even if you're not using the engine very much. So I assume that you would not need to change the oil very often, because usually it's because you get little shavings of metal as the gears are hitting each other and stuff that affects the quality of the oil. But my understanding is just it's sitting in there for a long time. You need to change it too.
Yeah. So usually they, based on time, they also, I mean, and how often they want you to do it versus how often you absolutely need to do it. I'm not a mechanic. I won't, you know, say for sure, but yeah, you still need to, even if you're pretty much only running an electric, my sense is you still need to change the oil every so often.
Yeah, my father-in-law really instilled in Steve and me that you really want to change the oil as often as they say. Like they say every 3,000 miles, we used to do it every 3,000 miles, and that you just, if you want your car to last a lot longer, it's a good idea to actually do, you know, it's not like how often they tell you to floss at the dentist or anything like that. So back to electronics, what about cameras and things like that?
So yeah, it's got the surround sound cameras. Now this was
surround sound.
The surround cameras, the 360 cameras. And this is something my wife had in her car. And I really kind of fell in love with that and said, you know, that was something that was high on my list to get, because just pulling into it's one of those things I've been driving for many, many years now and never needed it. But once you have it, it's so nice to see, oh yeah, I'm well within the lines and, you know, not, you know, have plenty of space behind me. I'm not sticking out of the spot at all.
More cameras is safer, yep. Right? More views.
Oh, absolutely.
Fewer blind spots.
So yeah, so I really like that feature. It also has all like so many of the different like safety sensors of like if you go to try to back out and someone's coming down the parking row, it'll beep at you and stop you. And same if you were pulling forward, watches for pedestrians. It will yell at me if I'm, you know, moving out of the lane the wrong way and all that kind of stuff. So it's got a lot of those kind of safety features built into it. I feel like
so
that
the little kid on a tricycle is going to live.
Yeah, I really hope so.
He's backing up. Right. What about driving on the highway, automatic cruise control, any adaptive cruise control, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So it does have, it's got the automated lane assist. So it'll keep the car within the lane, even as the road is. That actually, driving home from when I picked up the car, I ended up picking it up from a place that was a couple hours away. So I was playing with that the whole, now it yells at you if you try to take your hands off the wheel as you're doing that. But it was amazing how well on some fairly windy roads, it was sticking right to the lanes. It also has its highway drive assist, which basically takes that lane assist and then adds kind of the adaptive cruise control to it. So, you know, it will adapt to what the car in front of you is doing to keep a proper space there. I wouldn't say it's, like Tesla's self-driving at this point.
That's most of the features that we use, though. To be honest, is the staying in the lane and the adaptive cruise control. Now, in our cars, if you're in true stop and go traffic, it'll come all the way to stop and actually accelerate back up as cars start to move. Does yours do that?
It has something like that. I think depending on how long you're stopped, at some point, if you're stopped for too long, I think it kicks out of that mode.
Oh.
Honestly, I haven't really experimented with that all that much. There's so much construction going on our roads right now as I'm driving into work that I'm still not convinced I fully trust it around all the, you know, orange cones and everything. So I'm usually maintaining control as I'm doing that. But I know there is some features there, but I don't want to say for sure how well it doesn't work.
Okay. What about any kind of remote control?
So yeah, that was something that, you know, well, there's a couple different things there. One, the guy that was selling me the car kept highlighting, you know, with the app, you can remote control this vehicle and you can turn it on even if you're like at an amusement park and it's way out in the you know, parking lot, you can turn on the vehicle, get it started. I was like, I don't know that I want to do that, but I guess there's a use.
Maybe you want it to not be 2000 degrees when you get inside.
That is true. So, so it does have that, but, then it has with the key fob, you can actually back up or pull forward the vehicle. So basically if you're in a really tight parking spot, you can get it to kind of pull out for you. You can get in and then drive off. I've experimented with this kind of at home in my garage and driveway. I haven't quite pulled the trigger on trying that in the real world yet, mostly because there was one, actually, we were out at a concert and I was looking at doing this, but the line of cars trying to get down was so long. I didn't want to be there trying to play with this and get it working, blocking traffic. So I haven't really tried it out in the wild yet. But
I've only tried that twice in my car, and it was because I had to, because some bozo parked you know, a 16th of an inch from the driver's side, and I just pulled my car out. Interestingly enough, I've tried to do it in my own garage, and it's, I have a lot of trouble with it, and I think it's because of the cellular signal confused with the Wi-Fi signal, because the car's still inside my garage, and so it's hit or miss whether it works. But both of the times I actually needed to get it out, it was there for me, so that was good to have, I think.
Yeah, it seems like it's a nice feature. So yeah, I've liked that. I'll tell you one other feature I really love about the car, the cooled seat. So I'd had heated seats before, but I had never tried cooled seats, the ventilated seats. That is, I mean, it gets hot and humid here in Virginia, and that feature alone, I think, stands out to me. It seems like it's basic, but I love it.
My son just got a Honda, what is their minivan called? Odyssey, and it has cooled seats, and he lives in Houston. He is a fan.
Oh, I would imagine.
Fans. Fans on your fanny.
Yep.
So we've been talking all great things. What? There's got to be some downsides to the car.
Yeah. Let's
balance it out a little.
I mean, certainly there's things that, you know, are kind of little pains about the vehicle. You know, I'll tell you one thing that, like I said, I ended up going a couple hours away to pick up the car because there's actually not a lot of them available. I ended up using their website to look and basically pull up every car from New Jersey down to North Carolina to find, you know, who had them. When I showed up to get this car, I didn't realize it was this matte paint, which I've seen a bunch of cars on the road with this matte paint. And I was like, okay, fine. It looks okay. I'm good with it. But then they make you sign a whole nother document saying how to take care of matte paint. And you can't go to a car wash to wash your car. You need to get special soap and microfiber and whatever else. And here I am thinking every weekend I'm driving out to a farm on a dirt road. So we'll see how long this paint lasts. I don't know, but
I'd never even heard of this.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I don't mind the look of it, but they made
me think delicate paint.
I was going to say, if anything, I want more hardy paint, not more delicate paint. But so that's one kind of a little annoyance. It did come with the tire mobility kit, basically a patch system instead of a spare.
Is it that goo that squirts on the inside of the tire?
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like from doing my research, a lot of EVs and plug-ins are going that route just because it reduces weight in the car.
Yeah. Well, you're one step ahead of the Tesla. We didn't get a spare tire and we didn't get a tire mobility kit. We had to buy that separately for another $200. So, you know, we only paid 70 grand for the car. Why would we get something like that for free?
Well, when I test drove the Tesla and asked about that, they basically said, well, you know, you're just going to call and someone will eventually show up. And I was like, okay, so, you know, if I have a flat tire, I can't just get on the way myself. But yeah, so that, you know, at least I guess I do have the kit to patch, but that is something that, you know, if I had my way, I would have still had the spare.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, and once again, this is in, I think, all EVs now, but when you back up, it's got the backup beeper, which from working in accessibility, I'm fully on board with. I don't want anyone to walk out and back of me, even if my car should know to stop. I will say, you know, 6 a.m. in the morning when I'm backing out of my garage and wondering how my neighbors feel about my, you know, backing up truck, not quite that loud, but that is something that I'm always a little self-conscious of. I feel like I'm the Big Mac truck backing up in the morning.
What's charging like?
Charging, that's probably the one other area, is it only does level one and level two charging. So
not to a DC fast charge.
Yep. So
it
doesn't do the DC fast, or at least I'm pretty sure it doesn't. I don't have a connector for that. There may be some kind of adapter, but I haven't figured that out if it does. But, you know, level one charging is, even though it's, you know, much smaller battery than a full EV, it's still pretty much charging overnight.
So that's, when you say level one, that's just off the 110?
Plug it into a 110. And, you know, actually, when I first got it, it comes with a level one charger. And the charger, you can actually adjust the wattage on it. And I didn't realize that at first. So I plugged it in and ran it for about 24 hours and it hadn't fully charged because it was down on this like really low trickle charge level that basically just kind of, I guess, keeps the battery slowly charging. But, you know, once I realized that and adjusted the setting, you know, it basically is, I think, like 6 or 8 hours. It's overnight to charge that way. Now, I have...
Do you know what your battery capacity is?
That's a good question. I know I've seen that and I'm not remembering.
It's probably in your spreadsheet, right?
It's probably somewhere. Yeah. I'm not remembering it off the top of my head. Now, level two charger, we have one of those at my office and I'm looking at installing one.
So level two charger is like 220.
Yeah.
And maybe 40 amps.
Yeah. Something like that. And that it'll charge fully in, you know, probably about 2 hours. I think it averages about 2 hours. So, you know, once again, it's not something where I can just like stop on the side of the road and charge unless I'm doing kind of a longer stop somewhere. So like when I took the road trip down to Richmond, you know, the hotel we were staying at had a charger. So I plugged it in there and was able to charge fairly quickly there. But it's not, I mean, as much as people talk about being able to charge on a road trip, it's a little bit long, even if I find level two chargers to, you know, have to stop 2 hours each time to charge it. And then that's the other thing I realized about the plug-in hybrids, because at first I was a little worried of I've been fully charging this vehicle. And, you know, I know with EVs, you don't necessarily want to fully charge it all the time. Turns out the way the plug-in hybrids tend to work is the battery actually has more capacity than what they're necessarily showing you. So when you're fully charging it, it's actually at that about 80% level, at least according to what I've read online.
Okay, well, that's better to trick you in that way, because it turns out it's bad for batteries to be charged to 100%. That's a thing. So we do it before we go on a long road trip, but the rest of the time we keep it set at 80.
Yeah. So essentially, when I think I'm fully charging the vehicle, it still has potentially some capacity. I just don't have access to that additional.
But still, level two in 2 hours, that's got to be a little bitty battery, because ours takes a lot longer at level two. So the DC fast charging is definitely a better deal.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like this is a really nice car, really nice alternative. It gives you the size that you were looking for with all the storage. You've got the advantages of being able to drive to work without using any gas, but you can on the spur of a moment decide, okay, we're going to go to a vineyard, and you've got the range with the gas assist in that case, right?
Absolutely. So yeah, this is, I've been very happy with this vehicle so far. So,
oh, and how much did it cost?
Oh,
did it meet the 60K?
No, it was 43.
43?
So 43. Wow. And that was, I think, before, you know, trade-in and all that kind of stuff.
43 out the door, or is that before tip and tax?
So that's before tip and tax. And I think actually, ultimately, it ended up being about 43, you know, once I got my trade-in taken off, but then all the tax and all that stuff added on. One thing I will say, if anyone's looking, and I don't know if this is just Kia's or if other, I assume other dealers do this as well, but the first dealership I went to buy from, they had what they called a market adjustment fee. Basically, there's a lot of demand for electric vehicles in Northern Virginia. And so they actually wanted an extra $10,000 for the car. Oh. And so I was like, I'm not paying $10,000. And they were not willing to negotiate on that. But what I found is every dealership sets their own fee. So there was one other I went to nearby, and they were at like, I think it was like $3,500 for their adjustment fee, which was better. But when I went up to Pennsylvania to buy the car, I learned that, you know, when you go to an area where basically the dealer even told me he can't sell an EV where he is.
Oh,
they had no market adjustment fee. He was, you know, happy to, you know, get it off the lot, I think. So, you know, that was an interesting kind of lesson learned as I, you know, shopped around a little bit for the vehicle.
No, I learned from Chris Ashley when the Ford F-150 first came out, a bunch of dealers were starting to tack on $10,000, $20,000 fees, and Ford came down and slapped them and said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. That impressed me that Ford said no.
I mean, I would imagine for the vehicle manufacturer, I mean, that's suddenly all these vehicles, you know, if they get the reputation for being too expensive and it's all because of these extra fees added on, that's not good for them. So,
right. And of course, they don't get any of that extra market adjustment fee. But I think what they did was they said, okay, fine, you can do that, but you aren't getting another one.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be the only one you ever sell. So, not a good deal. Well, this has been very cool. Well, you've got a pretty good write-up on this that we're going to publish as well. And it sounds like a lot of fun. I think this is cool. I like learning about all the different alternatives because I'm you know, I'm very brand loyal. Once I mean, the chances of me changing out of Tesla, Well, given certain circumstances, possibly, but I tend to buy one kind of thing and then I just stick with it forever. I only ever owned Hondas and Acuras before this car. So I like learning about things that I don't know anything about. This was very cool.
Yeah, well, happy to share, share a little bit of an alternative here. And there were, like I said, it came down to me between the Kia and the Tesla were my final two. And I think I would have been very happy either direction. But ultimately, I think I found the car that was the right fit for me.
Very cool. Now, if anybody wants to chat with Steve more about this or anything else, he's pretty active in our Slack community over at podfeet.com/Slack.
That's perfect. I was going to say, I'm not as active on the various socials anymore. But yeah, Slack is a great place to find me.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
All right. I want to thank Allison and Stephen for sitting down and having such a great chat. Again, I said this in the beginning of the podcast. This is a great example of why I think I flubbed the line then too. This is a great example of why you should buy the car that fits your needs and not be pressured into something that doesn't necessarily fit your needs. So yeah, it was a good interview. And Stephen is a listener and a contributor to the show. So thank you, Stephen, for doing that. I'll go ahead and drop the links to Allison's website, which is podfeet.com. And I'll also drop a link to the Podfeet Slack as well. All right, everybody, that is it for me this week. And when I say that, it's literally, I've only recorded for about 4 minutes today. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Again, if you want to thank Allison and Stephen for putting this together for us, go and subscribe to Allison's shows. I'll also drop Allison's social media information in the notes as well. All right, everybody, thank you so much again. I hope you all have a wonderful week. And on Friday, we get back to talking about EV news. I'm really excited about it.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.